you know, I got in arguments in the past with marketing people say, hey, you got to figure out your ideal client. They got to be this kind of income, this type of profession. And I was like, BS, man. I want to work with people. I mean, of all the clients I work with, as we've talked about, I mean, you know, probably income wise, one of my clients, the least I've worked with is right around 20, 25,000 a year. You're near the lower spectrum. And I have clients that are millions and millions a year in income. But you're all ideal clients because you fit those four things and you guys do it. And even at an income of only 40,000 a year, you've made significant improvement to your finances.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast, and I have a special guest, and I had to write this down to get the alias right. It's Bobby.
Bobby.
Bobby with a Y.
Bobby with a Y.
Now, we've known each other, Bobby with a Y. Boy, I better bold this right now on my notepad. I don't want to let the... So I haven't done a podcast with another client for a while, and I think you're a great success story. One of many, but I somehow was able to con you to come on. So thank you, Bobby.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me.
How'd you come up with that alias, by the way?
Similar to a childhood nickname that I had.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
So, well, good. I'm going to start asking questions, but we've known each other for quite some time. You've been a client of mine now for, my gosh, what, 6 years?
Just about there. Yeah. Shy of half a decade.
So 6 years, and I just wanted to share a success story to show that, I want to share a success story, another success story. I mean, this is very, very typical. And I just, and also you're a great loyal listener. You've listened to all the podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it raises a lot of questions and, you know, but I figured, you know, whenever I get a lot of the stuff I'm not ready for yet, but it's nice to learn and listen. So while I'm here in the building phase, before I get to the investment phase, you know, I kind of like to analyze the financial environment that I'm currently in and maximize it.
So Bobby with the B, you sent me an email last week saying, hey, I'm ready to borrow from the Bankosaurus again. I'm all, you know what? He's going to come on the podcast. And so, by the way, how effortless is that borrowing against the Bankosaurus? Did you have to... Now, you did tell me email what you're using it for, which is great. I was like, hey, dude, you don't have to tell me what you're using it for. It's your money, what you want. However, he was like, hey, you're my advisor. I want you part of the game plan. How hard is it every time you want to access money from the Bankosaurus? Actually, describe, how many times have you done that so far?
And twice. Yeah. It's extremely easy. It's like I'm stealing. I mean, it's weird. Like, there's no form to fill out. There's... I just make a quick call and there's a check on its way. So, you know, and it just covers the things I need it to cover. You know, it's like I don't have to do without anymore. You know, I don't have to go into debt and I don't have to pay a finance charge or, you know, any type of stuff like that. So
for the new listeners out there, by the way, I better just explain, the Bankosaurus is just a clever way to design and use a whole life insurance policy, participating, a dividend paying whole life insurance policy. So that's the Bankosaurus for new listeners. But we created the Bankosaurus for you about 6 years ago, right?
Yeah, roughly. Yeah. You're right in the ballpark there. I'm bad with time frame, but
You can tell me like time, what I tell you about 4 years into it, you'll be high-fiving me.
Yeah.
Wanting to hug me.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's 100% true. You know, the first time I dipped into it was when I went to Europe last year. So, and I was like, I didn't go into debt, not one dime to any creditor at all. So, I mean, the whole trip was cash money, my cash money, which is felt awesome.
Yeah. Kind of tell me, here's a question. So when we first sat down, you heard about the Bankosaurus, you heard about what I do in the advisement investment space. So what was your take when I was educating you about it and you're doing your due diligence? You probably had there's things you're excited about, there's things you're hesitant about. If you recall, what was it, what had you excited? Like, why'd you want to pull the trigger?
The things that had me most excited were basically the construct of it, the concept of it, and the fact that it's hassle free. It almost seemed too good to be true, honestly, you know. And usually, well, like,
that'll probably tie to the hesitation part, right?
Yeah.
So too good, I didn't mean to cut you off, but yeah, too good to be true.
It seemed too good to be true because if it were, this easy, why isn't everybody doing it? You know, it was my first question to myself. And then I think I even asked you, I'm like, and then you reiterated, I remember saying that, you wish you had known about it earlier than you'd known about it, you know? And I'm like, wow, man, if I could have just went back in time, you know, and started this sooner, we'd be a lot further ahead than we are now. But, you know, it's awesome. I mean, it's very weird, you know, like my financial environment is different than all of my peers.
Let's dive into that a little bit, because, you know, and I've talked about this in previous podcasts, and I've had arguments in the past with marketing people, I've had arguments a long, long time ago, marketing people say, who's your ideal client? And, you know, a lot of financial advisors, we were talking about this before we started the podcast, Tim, it's like a lot of advisors out there, they won't take you on unless your net worth's over $250,000. They won't take you on unless you're making over 100 grand a year.
That's crazy.
And so of the whole spectrum, I mean, I don't know. Do you feel, some people might recognize your voice. I mean, do you feel comfortable just talking about your annual income through work?
Yeah, I don't mind. I think transparency helps me grow, honestly.
So annual salary, talk about it with everyone listening. So approximately, what's your annual salary right now?
I'm a clock puncher. You know what I'm saying? I don't have any fancy title. My name's not on a door. I don't have a desk. I make about 40K a year, you know?
So you make about 40,000 a year.
Yeah.
Is it okay to say the industry you're in, or is that too specific?
Yeah. Well, grocery retail.
Okay. And you've been with this company. It's a great company. You've been with them for how long?
16 years. Yeah. Hit 16 years, about a week and a half ago. So
and they do have a great, retirement plan as well. I mean, their ESOP is one of the best in the industry.
Yeah, that's the thing that's keeping me there the most. You know, I've been having it's growing exponentially, so it's actually a good thing. And I got in when the getting was good, you know. So, right place, right time kind of thing. Health benefits are good. Stable work environment. I have seniority. I'm good at what I do, you know. So
and in background, now you're very intelligent. You're a very technical thinker. Background, education, higher education. What's your education right now? Like, and when I say education, I mean like the typical standpoint. I mean, any fancy degrees?
No fancy degrees. You know, I mean, I graduated high school, went to college, got some certifications for diesel to be a diesel mechanic and stuff. And then, you know, then the recession hit, the housing bubble burst, and everybody was. So I just held on to the job I had and stuck with it, and here I am. You know, so, you know, I mean, I know what I'm doing as far as, you know, getting around to engine bay, but, you know, as far as what pays the bills, you know, I just go to work and, you know, do what I got to do, you know, and get a paycheck. So
I almost said your name. So Bobby with a Y. I'm just going to say Bobby with a Y. So yeah, Bobby. So he hits the ideal client. He's a very technical thinker, and I work with conceptual thinkers as well, but he loves to learn, person of integrity. Right. We resonate. I understand him. He understands me. We have a lot of fun working together, and he does his homework
most of the time. Yeah.
Most of the time.
I got pending homework. Yeah. I got a late assignment.
You're a little late on one, but he does his homework. And this guy, like every time I'm talking about something, my gosh, he's heard it on a podcast. He's researched it on YouTube. He's read it somewhere. You've got a fancy project right now. What are you working on right now every single night after work?
I'm restoring my Mustang. So I'm trying to, my deadline, I got like 3 weeks to get it back together, but it's 90% there. But the last 10% is going to take a lot of resources and time. So we're going to burn the home stretch. We're going to get it there.
And that's relaxing for you, right?
Oh, I love it. Yeah. So every single day.
You love producing, you love creating. And this goes back, and here's me on my tangents, but you know, I've gotten arguments in the past with marketing people say, hey, you got to figure out your ideal client. They got to be this kind of income, this type of profession. And I was like, BS, man. I want to work with people. I mean, of all the clients I work with, as we've talked about, I mean, you know, probably income wise, one of my clients, the least I've worked with is right around 20, 25,000 a year. You're near the lower spectrum. I have clients that are millions and millions a year in income, but you're all ideal clients because you fit those four things and you guys do it. And even at an income of only 40,000 a year, you've made significant improvement to your finances.
Oh yeah. Like so much so I don't have to worry about money. You know what I'm saying? Like anything could happen. Somebody could slash my tires and I'm like, I mean, that's a bummer, but I don't have to go beg to a bank to borrow the funds to cover that. You know, I mean, it's a neat.
And that's because you have liquidity.
Yeah, liquidity, which is.
You got savings.
Yeah. So, and then that's what I was getting at when I was talking about me being in a different financial environment than all of my peers. I can't relate to them anymore. That's kind of a problem because when we get to talking to stuff and we, you know, when you're with your peers, you talk about things you worry about. A lot of it's money. You know, oh man, I don't know how I'm going to pay this. I don't know how to pay that. You don't hear a peep out of me anymore. You know,
defined and you've done it. I mean, my job has been to help have you see things from a different angle. I've always created to be the advisor I needed when I was 22 because they didn't exist.
Yeah. No, they didn't.
So my goal for everyone is like, hey guys, it's really not that complicated. A test is easy once you know the answers. And so when we sat down, it's like, hey, it's pretty simple. Number one, live within your means, you know, save 10, 15, 20%, whatever your number is, right? So Bobby, percentage wise, what's your number in saving?
I think I'm over 10%. I gotta be. I don't know. I'm bad with figures. I'm definitely over 10%.
You're over 10% growth just on your Bankosaurus.
Yes.
And that's one part of a powerful saving strategy in addition to everything we've laid out. But no investments, is there?
Not yet.
You haven't done any investments yet.
No.
It's just changing how money's flown for you. Opportunity costs, like restructuring, number one, your auto insurance, how the liability was structured.
Yeah.
Reducing that premium and then reallocating that money to who? You.
Yeah.
Right? Stop it rich, making the insurance carriers richer, make you richer.
Well, that's kind of how my mentality was going into this because I'm like, I already have money that I'm saving going into this savings account here and this other savings account here. And then when you come along with the Bankosaurus, it gets me thinking like, well, why would I put money into that and earn a penny? I'll earn a nickel last quarter, a nickel, you know?
It's nice seeing the dividends now after year number four and year number six. You know, each year it's pretty fun watching how I also used to call it. You know, it's another way to look at it, is a piggy bank on steroids. So it's pretty simple. Every year it's like, oh man, it's right on track of what we predicted and looked at illustration wise 4, 5, 6 years ago. And then it's like, so not only do you have control,
yeah,
because it's your policy, yeah, right? You have something growing the way we structured it, income tax free, and you have a substantial death benefit. So heaven forbid something happens, the people you care about are going to get a big payday. and I was watching some videos I did a few weeks ago. I was like, man, I got to stop saying heaven forbid. I just said it, heaven forbid. But that's there. And so you got a powerful income protection component for people you care about. And then the cash value, pretty nice that you didn't have to get on your hands and knees last year to do a pretty impressive trip to Europe to go see family and beg the banks for money.
Yeah, no, it was great. You know, I think I financed a trip like in the past and it took me a substantial amount of time to pay that off, you know? So, you know, I understand the cost and taking money from myself, like, and then putting money back into myself. So I'm paying myself back with interest, you know? So it's the it's getting, it's just growing, you know, there's nothing but growth.
You said something to me last week after I got your email, I had to give you a call. Say, like, hey dude, you don't have to tell me what you're using the money for. He's like, yeah, but I want you to understand what I'm doing and how I want to pay it back, you know, accounting for the opportunity cost. But something you said I thought was great. Hopefully you can share it today. You always felt that you weren't going to be able to get ahead prior to sitting down years ago.
Yeah, no.
I think it was
something
you said. Can you rehash on that and talk about that for everyone listening?
It just, no matter how, like, you get a little ahead and something always pops up, some expense, you know, or it just seemed that way. Maybe they're just annual expenses and out of sight, out of mind. And then when they're due. And it just seems like I could barely just keep my head above water. I mean, all my credit cards had balances on them. And it was just a struggle, you know, it just seemed like a fight that I wasn't going to win, you know? So, and it's either, and you could slash the way you live. You can cut back on everything and live off top ramen and tuna fish, you know, but who wants to live that way? You know, nobody wants to do without, you know, and I didn't want to do without as well, you know? So getting into the Bankosaurus, restructuring my money, I'm not making any more money than I was in the past, but my financial environment's changed to where I can capitalize on more of my income, you know?
Do you feel paycheck to paycheck anymore?
No, not at all. No.
Do you feel like you're in financial servitude? Because we change how money moves so that the credit card debt is
gone.
It's gone.
Yeah.
How empowering is that?
Yeah. It's super empowering. You know, I mean, I use my credit cards for convenience, you know, like
points.
I'll use a credit card to get the points. I'll use a credit card to get the free travel insurance or whatever, wherever they're offering, you know, and then I'll pay it off, you know, and that's that, you know, I don't give them a dime. You know, I utilize, you know, my credit score has been is higher than ever, you know, because everything, I have all this open credit. And now they're threatening to like shut down credit cards because I don't use them, you know? So,
well, you use them, just pay them back every month, right?
Yeah. So I got to remember, I'm like, oh, damn, I haven't used that card in a year. I better order a pizza or something, you know? And that's kind of where I'm at. Cause I do like, I mean, having available credit is powerful as well, you know. I mean, as much as I don't like using it, I understand that
it's options.
It's options. When it comes to, you know, the financial world, everybody, the status quo is, you know, what your credit score look like, how much, what's your debt to income ratio, and all this other stuff. You know,
we've been strategically, I mean, we've defined your wish list and we revisit it at least once a year.
Yeah,
and on time when someone completes his homework assignment on time. everything we've done. Pretty simple, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's not rocket surgery. It's not brain science.
It's like, but once you sit down and having someone from the sidelines walk you through it, have you see it through a different way, light bulbs go off, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. And especially when you implement the change yourself, and then you just see this tremendous growth. And that's what it is. I mean, to me, it is tremendous. It's tremendous growth. It's like I'm aiming for the next level. And then once I get to the next level, my financial environment will change once again, you know, and
was
then.
Was any of it hard or intimidating? Was it really, I mean, everything was just kind of a small step forward with huge.
Yeah, no, I mean, it didn't take anything. The money that I was saving in the first place just went to different places, you know, like every time I pay off a credit card now, I just divert the payment mm-hmm. now, you know what I'm saying? I don't stop making the payment. So, and I like, in what helps me a lot, like, I don't know, maybe it's just myself, but my mental, I have to mentally trick myself. Like back when I was paycheck to paycheck, like I don't want to get too comfortable when it comes to not worrying about being paycheck to paycheck, you know, because I don't know what it is, but I like to like pretend like I'm still living paycheck to paycheck, but it's all pretend. When I look in the Bankosaurus, I'm like, I'm just pretending I'm strapped. I'm not strapped, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty nice watching something grow income tax-free. And this
yeah.
is 100% protected from creditors, substantial death benefit, and you get to use it anytime you want.
Yeah, it's just like, pinch me, I'm dreaming type of thing.
And so now it no longer feels too good to be true.
No, it's reality. It is what it is, you know? I was talking to one of my coworkers about a week ago, and she's explaining how strapped she is and how she can never get ahead. And she took a second job as an Uber driver, and we were talking, and I was like trying to give her advice on how to, like, you know, I mean, I'm not a financial guru or anything, but I'm just telling her, change a small habit. I don't believe that she's teachable as far as, you know, she doesn't.
Maybe not yet.
Yeah. But we make the same money. She was at the exact same pay rate as me. We make the same money. And I asked her, I said, why don't I worry about the same things you worry about? What's different about what I'm doing? And she had no answer for me. And I'm like, well, my money, I'm making the same money. I diverted it. It's flowing. It's working for me, you know, instead of working against me. So
yeah, I think one of the topics that comes up all the time when I initially sit down with clients is, and I think you brought this up maybe at the beginning of the podcast, is how come no one has shown this to me before?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't even have an answer to that one.
Well, I can give one, but I'll be careful on it. But yeah, we're not trained on finances or money in elementary school, typically high school, college. And then you got to be very, very careful going on the web, because amazing. There's so much knowledge out there. But what happens when you try to get educated on the internet?
Oh, it's diluted. Yeah,
there's so much stuff out there, you don't know what to believe.
Yeah, it's so diluted. Yeah, you know, we got this vast resource at our fingertips here, but it almost is like throwing a rock in a pond. You don't know where it's going to land. You know, it's, you know, like you could find pros and cons to everything. It's almost like it's a moot point to even look into it.
So, and I've said over and over again, a test is easy once you know the answers. And so working together, it's been pretty damn easy. And the thing is, too, is you didn't sacrifice your lifestyle. You've actually has substantially increased how you're living today. And you're creating a way wealthier tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
It is.
And not complicated. You don't have to be watching Wall Street every single day. Not that I'm anti-Wall Street, but it's like, I mean, have you been worried if the stock market's been shooting up or shooting down each day?
I like the stock market, but I don't have the nerves for that game.
And most people don't. You know, most people don't like losing all their money. However, the majority put it in there because that's all we've been trained to do through all the marketing, through all the ads, through all the advertisement. And this approach, to answer your question that I don't think I answered yet, is why has anyone taught this to us before? Well, because it's pretty simple and pretty boring. I mean, the Bankosaurus, I mean, whole life insurance existed for over 200 years. And when you initially look at it face value, it's like, gosh, that internal rate of return's a joke. I don't get it. And I'm not going to die. I'm going to live forever. Mm-hmm. Right? Although people die every day, but you know, we're going to live forever.
And you're immortal till you're not.
Yeah. And so there's more of an education process, more due diligence. I mean, you had to read, didn't you? Before mm-hmm. you sat down, you were given homework.
Yeah.
I wanted you educated. I wanted you to ask educated questions. I would argue the majority of the financial industry doesn't want you independent. They want you dependent on them. Give us all your money, Bobby.
Hey, if they can control the environment, you know, I mean, if you're a fish in a bowl, you don't decide how much food gets dumped into the bowl.
I like that. That's great. Say that one more time so I want to reflect on that. Say that one more time, please.
If you're a fish in a bowl, you don't decide how much food gets dumped into the bowl. You know, someone else is regulating that.
Yeah. And so you don't have control.
You don't have control. Yeah.
You're a spectator. You're not a participant taking control of your own future. You're reliant upon the financial industry, the insurance industry, the government, right?
Meaning that you don't control the environment, they do.
So I was just reading an article recently that California now has a state-run IRA.
Interesting.
Yeah, I can't imagine why anyone would be tempted to do that. So
I think they're probably just trying to cash in on the fact that everybody believes they need to have an IRA or 401.
Do you think that California, and I love California, I think it's just such a beautiful state, you know, and I obviously have a lot of clients in California. Do you think California created that for the benefits of the investors? Or you think maybe they created that for its own benefit?
Oh, it's a product. You know, they're trying to sell you. I mean, it might be a bit of snake oil, but they're trying to sell you something. You know, somebody's going to buy it.
Well, one thing I want to bring up too for everyone listening is that, it was simple. Sitting down, intimidating? Were you afraid? Were you embarrassed?
Nope. No.
I mean, it was a pretty fun process through and through. You didn't hear any judgment from me. I think I've shared enough stories. You've listened to every podcast. Podcast number one, that was really fun. Like everyone know, having the engineering background, the degrees, licenses, and I thought I was so brilliant at investing, I lost everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. That was humbling. And so I share that with everyone because, you know, it's kind of, you are cutting yourself open like a fish though. I mean, you're bringing in pay stubs, you're showing your income, you're showing your debts, you're showing everything. And so that's maybe potentially, maybe it might be humbling for others or embarrassing. Or concerns that I might be judging about it. But did you experience any of those pieces?
No, because that's my world. That's the world I live in. That's how I put food on the table, keep my roof over my head, you know? So like, I gotta be honest with you, but I also gotta be honest with myself. I'm not a millionaire. That's right. I'm not, you know, like, I'm not rich, you know? I mean, I don't have those means to live at that level yet, you know?
When you walked in that door, then you walked out the door an hour later, did you feel elevated?
I did. Yeah.
Empowered.
Yeah. I was like, and doubtful as well, because it's like, wow, you know, like, well, why is anyone else doing this or anyone that I know doing this? I'm sure others were doing it. You know, nobody I knew, you know,
99% of American households don't have enough for retirement.
Yeah. That's scary.
So do you want to do what the 99% are doing, or you want to do what the 1% are doing?
I'll take the one, you know.
Yeah. You did take the one.
I mean, I know people that are nearing retirement, in retirement. I don't know if you can call it retirement, existing. I mean, there's only a finite amount of time, you know, that you have to earn, you know, the rest that you have left is just hopefully is enjoying life. Yeah. But for a lot of people, it's not.
Yeah, we didn't work on a needs analysis for you. We worked on a needs and wants analysis.
Yeah.
And we keep improving it every year. And in every year, you feel more and more empowered and more elevated.
Yes, correct? Yes.
And I will share with everyone is that even on a limited income, the amount of money that you're not paycheck to paycheck anymore, you've taken an absolute control of your finances. You're not a slave to the banks anymore. You control your money. You're the bank.
Yeah.
And what you have liquid, I can tell you, I mean, is that, you know, I have a lot of clients coming in that with incomes over $250,000 a year. And they want help. And they're humble enough to ask for help. What can we do to improve it? Number one concern, they don't want to be paycheck to paycheck. I mean, what you've created on a limited income stream just in the few years we've been, well, 6 years now, but you did it just in the first year. You know, you have more in liquidity, more in savings, between savings and the bank of Soros, then the majority of these households come in with incomes that are six times greater than yours.
That blows my mind.
You have more in savings than the majority of households in this country.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah. And so, but you didn't sacrifice anything, did you? You everything better.
No, I didn't. And it's just weird because now I'm able to like live and spend. You know, and I'm pretty thrifty, you know, I budget my money and, you know, I mean, I splurge on things and I probably spend money on things I normally, you know, before all this, I would probably reserve myself up, you know, but I got to get out of that mental box, you know, that I'm kind of in. And I think it's just because everybody else is in the same mental box, you know, they're worried. So therefore I worry, you know, it's a contagious feeling, you know, when everybody puts their money into a bank, everybody uses their credit card, everybody gets financing for this and that, you know, and then everybody lives under the thumb of some financial institution for the majority of their life, you know?
Yeah, it's very difficult to when you're a part of this environment, right? You know, it's like when we're brainwashed every single day to get a loan, right? Get a mortgage.
Yeah.
Put your money into a 401k. Put your money into an IRA. Us manage your money because we know so much about it, and you know nothing. So let us control it forever. And then when you hit retirement, we're going to scare the crap out of you. And then we're just going to give it back to you in doses anyway, because we're going to say, oh, well, we don't want you to outlive your money. You know, the financial industry with their Monte Carlo simulations and saying, oh, don't withdraw more than 3%. And so they still control it even in retirement. The financial institution and the representatives, they're going out to Hawaii every year because they're making money on the spread. They're making money on turn. You know, because that's how they get paid. And it's great. They're phenomenal what they do. That's great. That's how they get paid. But to teach people this whole buy and hold strategy. I mean, you have a significant retirement account, on paper today, waiting for your retirement.
And it's growing.
Substantial. But what does that do for you today?
Nothing. It's nice to look at. Yeah.
It's a number.
It's a pretty piece of paper, you know. I mean, I can't do anything with it.
But taking control of your financial environment, creating more and more knowledge all the time, and asking for help, having the humbleness, right, and humility to come in and ask for help, saying, hey, I want to learn more. What can we do? And then interviewing me interviewing you to see if that we're going to be the right fit. And you did your homework. And it's these type of successes happen every single time because you got to do the homework. And so it's like those four things, right? You know, we work well with each other. Your personal integrity.
Yeah.
You're accountable to me. I'm accountable to you. You get homework. You're craving to learn and you do it. You apply it. You run with it. And my goal, day one for you and every other client I've worked with and all the listeners to this podcast is that I want everyone that I work with to know more about money and finances than I do. So we've known each other for a long time, though.
Yeah.
You also know I'm probably highly competitive, too. So. If someone's learning more than me, then I want to be right there with it.
I think that's how growth kind of works. You know, it's, you know, like you're not going to know everything, you know, and so other people are going to come, they're going to show up with pieces to the puzzle and then you're going to create the bigger picture, you know? So I'm definitely looking forward to the next levels, you know, I mean, it's nice to have a usable fund, but I'm really looking forward to getting into the investment side of things, you know, when that day comes.
It's coming soon. We're just following a very strategic plan that we've created together, and we fine tune.
Yeah.
We've created a very, very strong foundation. The mindset's right. Cash flow's right. Money's moving in all your direction. And then once we have that base in place, then we really get to have fun, and it's an investment time, right?
Yeah.
Defense and offense, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what's something that we can leave? Is there anything else you wanted to bring up? I think it's been a fun podcast. I'm so glad we've talked. I think about a year ago or 2 years ago, I said, well, it couldn't have been 2 years ago. It was probably a year ago. So yeah, I got to get you to come on sometime.
Yeah.
Because you've done such a great job.
You got a lot of, I know it's a lot of people that you have on your podcast. They're a lot of experts, a lot of different areas, you know, and sharing their sides of things, you know, and it all ties into, you know, maximizing your money, making it more useful, making it work for you, you know? So it's nice, being able to come on and put in my perspective from, you know, cause I'm not an expert in finance, you know? And, you know, I mean, I got a job, you know, and chances are, you know, a lot of the financial tools that all of your peers are marketing to people and investment strategies and real estate strategies and all that other stuff, you know, they're going to be used by like people like me, you know? So it's nice to come along, you know, and share my process through this. And this is just stage one. We can revisit in a year and see where I'm at then. You know?
Yeah, we tune it every single year at least. And I think we probably touch base at least on a quarterly basis. And what's great too, is that you don't even realize how much you know about money. You know more about money than the majority of advisors out there, trust me. And just because we're constantly working together to keep learning and applying. And that's the key thing, applying it and doing it and fine tuning and just taking the next step. What would you like to leave with everyone listening on the podcast? I'm like very grateful you came on. Thank you. It's been fun for me. What would you like to listen to everyone? What would you like to leave to listeners about? Maybe people are on the fence or trying, you know, like what helped you come in the door?
I think first off, and most importantly, is understand your financial environment, you know, be honest with yourself, you know, a lot of people like thinking later is going to come or they're invincible or they're going to be able to work till they die or anything like that. But just be honest with yourself, you know, be honest with your financial environment, know where you're at. No, and then only then you can decide where you want to be, you know, and then get with Ken and he'll help you get there.
Yeah. Do you think just trying to self-study the entire time, was it a huge, I don't know what the word would be. How powerful was it trying to figure it out on your own or could coming to me or someone that's a specialist in finances? I'm just going to say me.
It's hard to get out of a maze when you don't know you're in one.
And then once you see the things from a little different side, like a little different angle, light bulbs go off, don't they?
They do. Then you realize, I mean, if you don't know there's a problem, you can't address the problem, you know? So instead of just being the drone that I was, just doing what everyone else did, because that's what they did and that's what you're supposed to do, you know, I wasn't even questioning it back then. I just thought that's what you did. You know, you go to work, you get a check, you put it in the bank, you need money, you borrow it. You know?
Sounds trite. It's almost like watching the movie The Matrix. Yeah,
you don't know you're in it.
You see how it's built. Yeah, then you see how it's built. Well, hey, Bobby, thank you for, gosh, it's so awkward saying Bobby. Bobby with the Y.
Bobby with a Y.
I got to tease you more about that name, but that's awesome. That's awesome. Bobby with the Y. So, and I got good friends named Bobby. So it's a great, great alias. Thank you.
Yeah. No.
And I would say everyone listening to this podcast, thank you for coming on. You're a great guest. And thank you for listening to all the podcasts. I always love hearing your feedback on the podcast and been a great client. It's just a fun relationship for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
And everyone in this podcast that wants to learn more about what we're talking about finances, changing how money moves, the importance of liquidity and having control and being a participant and taking action on your homework and not being a spectator. If you want to learn more about all of those concepts, go to my website, engineerfinance.com. Listen to more of these podcasts. If you love it, please share it with others that you like and respect. And if you're really brave, you don't have to hesitate to schedule a time to talk to me for a few minutes. You know, I think you can attest this, Bobby. I think I'm pretty approachable, you know, very humble and and just really enjoy helping ones that want to play the game. I don't specialize in pushing wet noodles, but people want to be pulled along and take that next step, I'll be work just as hard as you. And so go to engineeroffinance.com, read more about my blogs, listen to more podcasts. And if you want to schedule a time to talk to me, there's an online scheduler. Or if you get really, really brave, I pick up the phone and call 775-624-8839. You'll always get a great receptionist, and he or she will schedule time to talk to me for a few minutes and see if I can help you take the next step. Bobby with the Y, thank you so much. Very gratefully came on the podcast. And I just want to say thank you to all the listeners. And I look forward to the next podcast. And I have no idea what we're going to talk about, but I really have some great stuff I want to talk about. So thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.